Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our Friday Chapel. We begin this morning with a prayer, a collect. You'll find that on page 118 in the front part of your hymn book. The collect at the top of the page, we will simply pray it and speak it together in unison. The word collect was often used to describe the gathering together or collecting together of the prayers of people. So sometimes these are referred to as collects. Please join me there. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, having safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doing, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated for the singing of our psalmody. Please rise for our scripture reading. Our reading today is taken from the first letter to Timothy, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 6. And St. Paul writes by inspiration, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. We live in very difficult economic times. Times are tough, aren't they? Yesterday, Chipotle just announced that they are, for the first time, going to be delivering burritos by drones on the Virginia Tech campus, and they're planning to bring this to other campuses. So when this finally comes here to Bethany, think of the challenge we're going to have. I'll either have to think, do I get in my car, which is comfortable, and listen to the music that I want, and drive a mile and a half to Chipotle? Or do I have a toy helicopter bring a burrito to me? You know, I mean, this is not easy. My parents got married in 1951. My mom told me that the first 6 years of their marriage, they went out to eat twice. My wife and I can spend 15 minutes trying to decide every week where to go out to eat on the weekend because we have to pick from 166 restaurants. Times are tough. This is not easy. 15 minutes of my life. Seriously. 2 years ago, the body of a 14-year-old Haitian girl washed up on the shores of Palm Beach, Florida, because she was trying to make it to our country in a little boat. You don't find Americans doing that. You don't find us taking boats and trying to go to other countries. You know why? We probably can't afford boats. That's probably why. At Hy-Vee, when I go to get a bag of cheese, there's so much food, there's so many aisles in Hy-Vee, it probably takes me an extra 2 minutes every time I want cheese. Now think of that in my life, if you add up all those minutes. Times are tough, people. This is difficult. This is not an easy place to live. All that extra time in my life trying to get a bag of cheese. As my daughter used to say when she was in third grade, "Dad, you're being facetious." Hope you see that. There are some inherent dangers to living in a country, in a nation that has been so amazingly blessed. We can still convince ourselves, can't we, that, man, times are really tough for us. Times are hard. We want things to be better. We want more. We need more if we're going to ever be happy. If I'm going to be content in my life, I've got to have more. That's just a constant magnet in us toward all the stuff of this world and of this life. St. Paul is addressing that as he writes to a young pastor, probably in his 20s, and he's even warning him about this, even though he spends his life trying to help other people stay focused on heaven and things. He says, you watch out for this too, because it's a constant magnet and a temptation for all of us. And he brings out in our text some dangers there are to being around so much wealth and having so many things to focus on. I'll just list the four of them he brings out. First of all, he says, some have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Studies show continually that the number one cause of divorce in the United States is money. That's the biggest thing that people fight over. I think of how many families have been torn apart by inheritance issues and just greed issues and wanting certain things. It definitely as Paul says, pierces people through with many sorrows. Secondly, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money. Money's not the root of all kinds of evil, but the love of money. And you can have that even if you're on welfare. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. There's a reason you have a wad of keys in your pocket or backpack. And that's because the love of money produces evil in people's hearts, a desire to take things that don't belong to us. Thirdly, he says that believers can fall into the temptation and a snare with money. Money has a way of changing our moral standards. It has a way of buying off our judgment. It has a way of taking away the screens of discernment of what would be right and wrong. And we can convince ourselves and justify ourselves in certain situations. I can do this so that I get a little bit more money. I can justify what I put down on my tax forms because I'll be better off, even if I know in my conscience it's wrong. And so money has the temptation and the power for us to alter our consciences. Finally, he says that some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. You can be spiritually blinded by the material blessings of this world. It can take your heart away. I've seen it happen to members of congregations that I have served. Martin Luther used to say, you can even take a little penny out of your pocket, and if you hold it up close enough to your eye, it will block your view of heaven. And how true that is. 4 years ago, a pawnbroker in Colorado called the local police because a local undertaker, a funeral director, was coming into the pawn shop every week with handfuls of kind of weirdly smashed up gold. And they realized he was pulling it out of the corpse's teeth. Now, isn't that interesting? The stuff you have in this life, you can't even guarantee you'll get to put it in your grave with you if it's in your mouth. From the precious, precise moment of your birth, all the way until the undertaker is going to dress your body someday, face the reality that nothing actually belongs to you. Nothing really belongs to you. And so St. Paul is putting this text before us, as he did to Timothy, as a warning for us about our spiritual lives. He says later on, you, man of God, flee from all of this. Get away from this kind of thinking. Don't let this type of earthly, materialistic thinking influence you, because it will corrupt your soul. It has the tendency to kill the precious faith that God has implanted inside of you that holds on to Christ. God would teach us instead how and where to find true and lasting contentment. And that is in the heavenly home that our Savior has come to prepare for us, all paid for by his precious blood, covering all our sins, even our sins of greed and materialism and selfishness and all of that. The blood of his Son has cleansed us from all of that. And then, not to get fooled into thinking that we can chase both the things of this world and the things of heaven with equal intensity, and that we can be focused on both of them. As our Lord says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. God would have us view all of the blessings that we get in life as a present from his hand, as a complete gift, something that we don't deserve at all. It's not a right, it's not an entitlement that you and I get to live in this country and get to enjoy the wealth that is around us. It's a present. It's a present from God. We need to keep that in our thinking. We need to keep that in our hearts to keep a proper spiritual perspective of all this stuff that we have. We deserve none of it. There's no reason that you as an individual or I as an individual deserve to be living here in all of this wealth compared to people that live in the middle of Africa in poverty. How grateful I am that God has not given me what I truly deserve. Instead, he's been so gracious through the work of his Son to give me the greatest gifts there are. And even my earthly lot in this life is a present from his hand. Everything that you and I possess belongs to him. He owns it. And he has been generous enough to let us enjoy it and to let us use it to serve our fellow man and to take care of our families. And also that Our focus should be then to be grateful for what we have and not focused on what we don't have. If your life focus is going to be on what you don't yet have, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be content. God would have us instead turn and look at the things He has blessed us with and to just be in awe of them. Open our refrigerators and just be in awe of the bounties in front of us. Open the doors to our closets and just be in awe of the amount of clothes that He's just given us. Every year I have to take boxes and bags of my leftover clothes to the Salvation Army or some other place. We should just be in awe of the amazing things around us we get to do for vacation and for our leisure. Just in awe of all the gifts and the blessings that He showers down upon us for no reason at all, just because of His great love for us. And have dropped before Him with hearts of gratitude. We should just marvel at all of this. There was no house, there was no mansion in this world that was worth the Son of God getting off of His throne to come and buy for you. There was no car good enough that would cause Him to come and die on the cross for you. There was no great banquet or great feast in this world that He could provide for you that was worthy of Him shedding His holy blood and being stuck dead inside of a tomb for. But heaven, getting you out of your ugly box of your coffin someday and having you rise again from the dead and get to go to heaven, having you go to enjoy the banquet of heaven and the clothing of the robe of the righteous saints of heaven, having you get to go in and enjoy the leisure of everlasting life in heaven, that was worth coming down here to die for you for. That was worth giving you the gift of faith that's alive in your heart right now. Just think how fantastic heaven must be. Paul tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. So if you're going to invest your life and your soul and your heart into anything, make it that. Amen. We join in singing our hymn.